Everyone dreams about living an uncommon life, but how we define that dream is very different for each of us. And for most, it's a lifelong pursuit. Welcome to the Uncommon Life Project podcast. We're going to introduce you to people who are living that life or enjoying the journey to get there. We're going to also give you some tools, tricks, and tips for starting or accelerating your own efforts to live an uncommon life, a life worth celebrating and savoring. Please welcome your hosts, Brian Dewhurst and Philip Ramsey.
Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of the Uncommon Life Project, where I am your host, Philip Ramsey.
The only Aaron Kramer.
And the only Aaron Kramer. Super excited that you're coming on the show. We have an amazing show for you today.
It's a great one.
So we have Becky Pospisil on the podcast.
Yes. Nailed it.
So that's not easy to say. And so from here on out, we're just going to call her Becky. If you want to know her bio, here's the deal. She owns The Naughty Nail. She quit her job 16 years ago, or in 2016, and started this. She used to work for a chief officer at a nonprofit, and now she owns Central Iowa's most popular do-it-yourself art studios. Super excited for you to be on the show, Becky. Thanks for taking your time.
Thanks for having me.
It's going to be exciting. Amazing. We've just been talking for, should have been like 5 minutes. It was 15 minutes because she's that amazing. And so if this is the first time you have ever listened to the show, thanks for being on. We know your time is valuable.
Yes.
We are, I don't even know if we call ourselves financial advisors, but we like to help people invest in themselves and help them live a life that they love to live so they can wake up every morning, love what they do, and also get paid for it. Because for some reason, these freaking bills just keep coming every month.
Yeah.
And so if we can start helping people start loving their life every day, they don't want to retire because they want to impact the world. Becky is one of those people.
Yeah.
So, okay, if you have one question for Becky, I want to know what it is to start out the show, and I want it to be a really good one.
Oh, man.
And Becky has done podcasts before, but only one big one for ABC.
That's right.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
So if you get starstruck, I get it. But I want a good question right now from you, Aaron Kramer. Let's start it out with a bang.
Okay. Dang it, you put me on the spot.
Uh-huh.
Becky, how do you feel like about your journey that you've taken now? If you were going to describe it in like one word.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good start.
Ooh,
wow.
You really hit me with a big one right
Happy
off the
Friday, everyone.
Yeah.
Show's over.
Can't wait for this answer.
That feels like a closing question, but no.
But it's going to open it.
It's a good one. Yeah, it's a good one. Okay. So, I've been in business for 6 years now, which is hard.
Isn't that crazy?
It is. It's hard to say that out loud because it doesn't feel like that. So I guess if I look back at the last 6 years, it surprises me.
Mm.
That's probably the best surprising word.
Okay, unpack that, baby.
I just never really, isn't that crazy? Like, of course, you have big dreams of something, of how your business will look and what will happen with that when you start a business. However, it seems really far away, especially because when I started, I didn't have any money. Like, it was so small
scale. No knowledge at all.
Right. Zero. Yeah, so especially in this industry, like, I was not even like an artist or crafter by trade, like at
awesome.
All. So, when I look back, I'm like, did I think that maybe I would own a brick and mortar store? Did I think I'd have an online presence? Would I think, you know, that I'm have a sustainable income where I can provide for my family? No, I did not think that. Did I wish it? Sure.
Heck yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Right. I mean, that's everybody's dream, right? But it really surprises me the way it happened also, and probably at a pace that I was most comfortable with too, because it all felt really manageable. And I don't think I ever really put myself in a position where I'm like, I am detrimental to my family or anything which is exactly
I'm in over my skis.
Yeah.
Which you kind of always feel that, but you never really are that. Right.
Right. You always feel like you're in over your head. You also always feel like you have no idea what you're doing.
Right. And it's kind of like parenting. We've said this a lot in our podcast. It's kind of like a child.
Right.
Like at first when you have a kid, like it's coming, it's happening. You can't really stop this train. But you have no idea.
Yeah.
You just kind of adapt and overcome. Like,
and then
okay,
you have the child, and then they let you leave with it from the hospital.
Is that
like
the scariest thing?
Sure?
Yeah. Are you like, I came in with an empty baby car seat, and I'm leaving with like the most prized possession. truly,
what do I do with it?
Not to make this about me, but I about got into 3 car accidents and I hadn't even left the parking lot ramp. You know, it's like, oh gosh, why is everyone driving so fast?
So
you know.
True.
Okay, keep
it's
going.
So true. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, surprised is probably the best word if I really had to sum it up in one word, I guess. And I guess I don't know if I would have done anything differently, but I'm just really happy with how it's turned out. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show that you can make a plan and it's maybe not going to work out that way, right? You have to be able to adapt. And so when I look back at all the things, I would never imagine my business would look the way it does right now.
Right. Okay. So if you're a first-time listener, I want to encourage you. Okay. Because at the end of the day, if you go to a traditional financial advisor, they're going to take your money and they're going to put it in the market. Okay. Let's say it goes up. It can go up or go down. It can go sideways too, but eventually it's going to go up or down.
It's going down right now.
Mm-hmm. It's going down right now. But this is in October. I hope, or maybe it's going to air in November. Maybe it's going up now. I don't know. But here's the deal. At the end of the day, what have you learned? Let's say it goes up 500%. Oh, great job. What have you actually learned and how has your life changed? Not really that much. Retirement's looking good, but you're not touching that money. It's a long ways away, kind of in jail. Let's say it goes down. Uh-oh, what did you learn? Nothing, okay? You start your own business and jump off the proverbial bridge that we talk about, you're learning something right away, which Becky, you have learned.
Yes.
Not only did you like, I'm in over my skis, but not too much, but I'm learning constantly. Every day is something that I get to learn, I get to adapt, I get to overcome. So that's why we love an uncommon life. So where do we go from here? You tell me. So you were surprised. What were you surprised about?
Well, I think the first thing I thought, I guess I didn't realize that people would want my business around or to be a part of my business. So your customers become part of your business. They're the reason why you have a business, right? Yeah, like you have nothing without your customer base, whatever that looks like.
Right.
So when I started, I thought, okay, I'll do, you know, I do DIY workshops. When I started, I went to people's houses. I went to restaurants, went to bars.
Do what breweries. You got to do.
You hustle. You've got a car load of wood in the back and hammers and all kinds of stuff that you are driving around with in your Camry. Okay. And, you know, you're going to someone's house and you're hoping they don't have a glass table and they have a great time. And then they tell all their friends and then all of a sudden someone else is booking. And then it just like this rapid pace that people were excited about my business, which got me more excited about it because I was very nervous about my business. I was nervous I was going to show up and everyone was going to mess it up. Mm-hmm. It wasn't going to look good. Right. Similar to we've all done those canvas paintings of a palm tree that doesn't look like a palm tree and ends up in your closet or you give it to your mom or your grandma and they're like, it's beautiful. And then you never see it again. Right. And that was my worst nightmare with my business is like not having happy customers. And I'm a Leo. And I am on the DISC profile, a high I and a high D. I care very much about what people think about me.
Which is tough, right?
Super hard.
Right.
And so I always just wanted to make sure everyone had this like wonderful experience with my business. Yeah. Happiness associated with the naughty nail. And so I'm very good with people. And that's part of the reason why I started this business. As I was a social worker, I was a chief compliance officer at a large nonprofit. My job was to manage unhappy people and unhappy things
that's
like contracts and people getting hurt and, you know, workers comp, all kinds of things. And I did not enjoy that.
Right. I can only imagine. Right.
Yeah.
You're doing the deal.
Draining. Right. Draining. And so I picked the naughty nail. I picked my business because I didn't think anyone would ever get mad at me. I was like, everyone will be happy.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't enjoy like some time with their friends, a cocktail, and making some art you'd actually be proud to hang on your wall.
Right.
And so we joke now that I only do crafts you can't suck at because I don't want you to leave with something that you're going to put in the closet and never show anyone. Right. I want you to be proud of it. So I guess I was surprised that even happened, that people were like really pleased with their finished projects. They wanted to do it again. They wanted to tell their friends. They would order custom gifts. And then that just really snowballed very quickly, like to the point where 8 months later I left my job. So it's like,
because you hated it anyway.
I did hate it. I was ready for a change. I was tired of working for other people.
No one likes compliance.
No one likes complaints. Yeah.
Because that's what I want to get into real quick. Because I want to like back it up a little bit here.
Good.
So for our listeners, I get the pleasure. Becky is one of my, she's my neighbor.
Yes.
So,
Yeah.
Okay.
So I remember we're all sitting, I think we're, or not sitting, we're standing by the mailbox. And I overheard you talk about how like miserable you were at your full-time job, and you saw somebody else doing something similar to this, and you're sitting there thinking, you said something like, I can do this.
Yeah. Hmm. It seems so simple.
Yeah. You're like, what? I'm going to do this. And right. So then you did it, and now we're here today. But like, talk about that journey of like really taking that leap, going through that thought process of actually like jumping off that bridge, as we say.
Right. Let me quick, because the Naughty Nail.
Yeah.
Give us like a 30-second. What is the Naughty Nail?
Yeah. So we're a DIY studio, custom art. There it is. Engraving shop.
Yep.
And we teach
not
classes.
Fingernails.
No.
Okay. Not nails.
Absolutely like, yeah.
Here's
not
my
nails. Fingernails.
No.
No. Hammer. Okay. So we started with string art, which is nails and wood and string. Yeah, yeah. Which a lot of people are like, what? What's that? You saw it in the 70s, but it's like cooler version of that.
Yeah.
So, and that's funny because that's not even our most popular thing anymore. Isn't that weird? Trends change, but you know, that's a different story for another time.
All right. Now go back to the journey. I just want to make sure that we're on the same things, because it's not the nails. That
no, not fingernails. Yeah, no, don't do that. My fingernails look terrible. My daughter painted them and she's 8. So just imagine what they look like in your brain. So. Not good. Okay. Yeah. So I remember that, Aaron. I 100% remember that, telling people. I had seen string art on Pinterest, and I'm like, I can do that. That's so easy. Now, I'm a DIYer, but like things like I put shiplap up in my house and we tore the hardwood out and put flooring in, that kind of stuff. Not like I like to make scrapbooks.
Stuff,
yeah,
right,
no, that's not my thing. I like it. I just don't do it.
Yeah.
So I tried doing string art one time on the carpet in my living room. Number one, not on carpet. Don't do that. It doesn't work. Obviously, hammering a nail through onto carpet does not effective. Oh, well, you know, things you don't know.
Seeing that,
found a piece of wood in my garage. I think it might have been hickory. So as hard as you could possibly get.
Yeah.
And on the nails carpet. Were huge. Yeah, on carpet.
Lots
so,
going on here.
Yeah, doing great so far, right? And I decide to make an enormous heart. It's like 3x3. It's huge. And I draw a heart on a piece of wood and I try to hammer in like 6 nails and I'm like, this is hard. Literally hard and also like very hard to do. And I quit. And my husband, Andrew, was like, yeah, thanks for wasting the wood. And I'm like, listen, I thought it was going to be easy. And we put it away and I never thought about it again. And then we went on vacation. We were in Lake Tahoe. And I told my husband, I was so miserable at work. And I'm like, we're not leaving this trip until I come up with something to do. And he was like, yeah, right. Like, go, you know, we brainstormed ideas, nothing. Came home, no ideas.
What was he doing at the time? What was his name?
Andrew.
Andrew.
Drew.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, call him Drew.
You love him? We call him Drew.
We love him and we call him Drew. Yeah. So, he works for a startup company where they do power over Ethernet lighting.
Okay.
It's an invented thing that they came up with. It's pretty cool. So they manufacture these products.
Okay.
And it's here in
Des Moines. He was enjoying his job, but you were not enjoying your job, which I think is a core value, is like when your spouse hates their job or life, you hate your life. Mm-hmm. So you'll do whatever you need to do.
I remember him asking me if I was depressed.
Yeah.
Because it was like Sunday night and I was crying on the couch and he was like, is there something wrong with you?
Right.
And I'm like, of course there's nothing wrong with me. Like, what's wrong with you? You know,
right,
I put
defensive, right? Right.
But I didn't realize how unhappy I really was.
I mean, you spend so much time in your job.
You do.
You might as well like it.
Well, and I also felt like I had kind of dedicated, you know, 13, 14 years to my job. And
right.
I worked my way up from an entry-level position to a chief officer, and which is what everybody wants. Not everybody, but that's what I want. Yeah. You know,
I aspired.
That's
what you thought you wanted.
Yeah, I think maybe I want to be a CEO of a nonprofit. I felt like I knew everything I needed to know about the job, but I just did not enjoy it anymore. I loved the clients and I loved the work, but the system is hard. Anybody that works in social work knows the system is hard.
And you were going upstream because that's just not your personality.
Yeah, no, I'm like, I need that, like,
energy,
positivity, totally, 100%. So yeah, so after my failed attempt of string art at my house, I remember we were coming home from my stepdaughter's track meet, and I told Drew, "I'm going to start a business teaching people how to do string art," and he was like, "Didn't you try that already?"
Wow, Drew, come on. At least you're being honest. Sometimes you need that people.
He's totally opposite of me, which is good in a lot of ways because together we make a superhuman. But when we talk about things, we're not on the same page typically.
Right, at first. Right.
And he'll admit it too.
Right.
But
because the problem with having that is the American Idol thing where somebody gets up there and is like, my mom and dad have told me I'm an amazing singer. And you're like, oh gosh, we have a problem here. Right. You know, so
yes,
totally need Drews in the world.
We do. Right. He can ground me very quickly. So, I told him I'm doing this. And he was like, yeah, okay. And then I'm like, and we're going to call it the Naughty Nail. And he was like, that's a terrible name. It's a terrible name. And I'm like, it's not, because it's funny. And it's, my personality is punny. You know, I love a good pun. And he was like, you know, like totally being devil's advocate here. And I, no joke, I think I went home, bought the domains, you know, on GoDaddy and you know, bought all the things and got my social media handles. And I'm like, we're doing it. I don't care if you like it. Like, I'm doing it.
Right.
Like, this is, I'm sold. Yeah. You know, because we had gone back and forth about names and stuff, but I was
hold
like,
my no. beer.
Yeah. We're doing it.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I launched this website and everything before. I had never taught a class. I had made like four patterns people to choose from.
You're jumping in head first.
Oh, yeah.
Don't even know how deep the water
we're
is.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to the jungle. Here's what I'd say quickly. If this is like not resonating with you, a lot of people have different risk tolerances. So like we hear Becky's, she's ready to rock.
Yeah.
Now she did have a safety net of her husband, Drew, 100%. Who had the cash flow.
Yes.
And she was going to keep her job. So we see some of these people who are like, have the risk tolerance of like, not only am I going head first, I'm quitting my job before I even test the water, which honestly, like that's totally up to you. As long as you know the risks and the rewards, I'm okay with it.
Right.
But our job is to help people like, hey, the water might not work.
Right.
So if you are worried about that, keeping both feet in the thing. So like, yeah, it sounds like you're jumping in head first, but you had a lot of like ropes attached to you.
I did.
Right.
Yeah. I was making good money at my job. And so we had two small children in daycare. So this was not an option to quit my job.
Right.
This was in addition to the very demanding job.
This is a side hustle.
It was a side hustle, right? And that's what we thought it would be, right? Like two nights a week, maybe I'll bring in my goal. I think I wanted to make enough money to cover daycare.
No.
And I think I paid, I want to say it was like $1,200 a month at the time for daycare, which is a lot of money. That's,
totally.
I mean, that's a lot.
House payments.
That's a house
payment. But it is a start.
Yeah, nice house payment.
It's
right?
a goal for you to shoot for.
Yeah.
That wasn't like, and I need to make 60 grand. You know, like, correct. Oh gosh.
Yeah, we're
like,
starting small here.
Yeah, but it is helpful.
Yeah.
Like,
oh
to
my
overall
gosh.
Plan, like thinking
yeah,
about
we
that.
Yeah, we were, to be honest, we were not in a great financial situation at the time. I mean, we both on paper looked like we made a lot of money, but we had a lot of bills. You know, we both had a lot of credit card debt. We had car payments. We had a house payment, which was our least expensive bill out of everything. And then two babies. And then, you know, my husband has a daughter who is older and she's in college now. And we, you know, older kids, more activities, you know, getting ready for college. We're saving for her so we can pay for her school. You know, we had a lot of bills. So our money was out as fast
in
as it
out.
Was in.
In and out.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
this
you're saying is you're a typical American.
Yeah.
That's
we are.
Li-
yeah. The American dream, right?
As yeah.
debt and mortgage. So we had it. Right. So this was, it was a risk because we had little children at home. And, you know, two parents, you need, it's helpful. We're a team, right?
Yeah.
Like my husband doesn't sit on the couch when he gets home from work. Like he helps.
Right.
So it was a lot. So there was a risk there, but I replaced my income relatively quickly. I mean, it really went quickly. So
tell me about the first class. Because at this point, this is the second time you picked up the old nails and hammer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. So I had done some at my house. I had got my examples. We got our patterns, figured out how I was going to do it, you know, but not tested with other people.
Yeah.
So first class was my dear friend Jessica offered to host. And I think she ended up having like 10 or 12 people there, which was awesome, right?
Yeah.
You know?
How much are they paying for at this point?
$40 a person.
Okay.
That includes everything. They get to pick their pattern. And I brought everything to her house. We set it all up. And I think it took close to 4 hours.
Not ideal.
Yeah.
But great time.
Yeah.
Great results.
Everyone had a great time. They all turned out wonderful. I learned a lot about, you know, how many nails should be in the pattern and how old the people should be that are there, you know, maybe no children, and just learned some very quick lessons right off the bat.
Good.
Which was great,
right.
Which I implemented immediately.
And how much do you think you've invested at this point other than like bandwidth of mind? And
About $2,500, I think.
Yeah. So not
the
crazy.
Website. No, not crazy, but money I did not have.
Right.
So I borrowed some money from my parents.
Okay.
And promised it would be paid back in 3 months. And I was able to pay them back and,
right.
you know, quickly, yeah, which was right. great, you know, but I needed a website because I wanted to look legitimate. Yes. I'm like, yeah. if I'm going to do this, we're not doing like a Facebook group,
yeah, no.
which is fine. If you got to do that, that's a great yeah, right. place to start right. free right. marketing. It's an absolute wonderful resource that I use today. But at the time I'm like, no, I want to look like a right. real business.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so I had to. You know, I did as much as I could on my own, and then I had to pay someone to do the rest because I just didn't have that skill set.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
but it was an investment.
Yep.
So yeah, probably about
what was your design? I just want to know quick. This is off the topic.
The first designs
yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
So I had four. I had Iowa with
okay.
a heart.
Oh, that that's cute. Yeah. I think I've seen some
most
of those.
Most popular one by, okay. by far.
I know you.
An anchor.
Okay.
I want to say we did a was it a paw print maybe a big oh, paw print
okay
and then six chevron arrows
oh yeah yeah
in
oh,
a row yep. that go opposite that was pretty popular too but it is a lot of nails so oh. yeah so those were the four I think I started okay. with
great sorry
yeah.
great
still popular to this day yeah yep. very cool. popular okay. so yeah
awesome okay so the first thing went well
yeah
you
went
were
okay.
just hyped up
hyped.
Let's go Drew let me tell you about it.
Yeah, I was pumped.
Yeah.
I was pumped. The people there were pumped. Like they, I, you know, the one thing I knew I needed to do was take advantage of people marketing on my behalf.
Yeah.
So I made these tiny little 3x3 hearts, string art hearts. I made like two of them for every mm-hmm. party I went to. And I said, if you post a picture of your art and tag me on Facebook or Instagram, I will draw a name out of everyone that's here and you'll get to take a heart home and everyone will do anything for free stuff. Like they love a free thing, right?
Yeah.
Especially something like that. It's cute, small, you can put it on your shelf, right? So yeah. every woman in the world wants it. And so,
They did it right then. They posted
and they got to leave with it.
Ooh,
you know, two
baby.
People got to leave with it. Yeah. Which was great. And so that I attribute to it taking off so quickly
right.
is because the power of using your own customers to market you is that is the best marketing you could ever not pay for
right
is a referral
right. yeah
so that's what I did and it's funny because when I stopped doing that I could tell a big difference in my growth like it dropped dramatically
wow.
it was huge for me
wow
huge for
did
me.
You go back to that well
no I need to I mean I okay. should I have it
yeah.
it's been a weird time with
yeah,
you
I
know
get it.
If we want to fast forward it's been weird times so yeah. different
the COVID
yeah
the vid really put a wrench in things so yeah
okay so after the first night class deal when was the next one and who hosted it?
Yeah. So I did an event at Palak Studios in East Village. They're not open anymore, but Sean Palak is a very popular airbrush artist here in Des Moines. And he used to have an art studio in the East Village and him and his wife owned it together. And we hosted a workshop there. It wasn't very many people, but once again, about 3.5 hours. So we're getting smaller, which was good.
Yeah. Efficient.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Wine fixes this.
Yeah, it does help. Drinking yeah. makes everything better yeah. sometimes. Not for everyone, but in this case, yes, it can make difficult art more fun. So yeah, that went better. And then there was a lot of private parties after that. And then I think I hooked up with Hy-Vee and started renting one of their party rooms. Like a lot of them have party rooms.
Yeah.
Started doing stuff at Hy-Vee and a
so
lot
then
of local
people you don't really know.
Right.
That's interesting. Transition.
And that was, yeah, that was very exciting to have businesses reach out to me that wanted me to come into their right. brewery and right. do it or wanted me to come to their business and do that, it.
Because so one thing cool. I know about Becky is you're going to show up well. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like you're a people person.
Yeah.
So like that is exciting because normally yeah. you know these people. So they know yeah. that you're a people person.
Right.
I know what you're getting into.
Right.
But when you don't know these people, like you can show up for that. And it's very attractive, mm-hmm. right? Like, oh man, she can actually hold a conversation and
yeah.
she cares about me.
Yeah.
Not just my art.
Yeah, I can small okay. talk with anybody. I'm not afraid of strangers, which is helpful in this because part of that was, you know, the experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go to these Wine and Canvas, which was like really the only kind of art studio that was out there at the time when I opened
right.
this. And I kind of copied their business model.
Yeah.
But the one thing I remember about going to those was the instructor sat with a microphone and told us what to do. And I'm like, this is fun,
this could
but
be better.
Like I got in trouble for talking too much, right? Like
yeah.
I missed what we're supposed to do. What's the leaf supposed to look like? Do we do it one more time? You know, there's like a million questions, right? And so
Becky's my people.
Yeah.
You're my people.
Just stop talking, Becky, you know? But I couldn't do it. So I wanted it to be more like if you're struggling, I could come up to you and make a joke and make you feel better about the fact
yeah.
that you're struggling
yeah,
and then
right.
get you right back on track.
Let's go.
Nobody feels bad for not being
yeah.
good at this. And so right. that was part of the experience that I think made it successful. Because even if you weren't, and everyone would always say, oh, I'm not crafty, I'm not artsy. I'm like, you don't have to be. You have to follow directions. That you can do. Yeah, anybody right, can do that.
Coming from a non-artsy guy, that's amazing. When you get to make something, you're like, I made that.
I did it.
I did it. Like, it's huge. Because usually when I try to make something of like artsy, it's a... Oh, that looks good. Did your little girl do that? No, I did that.
It was me, right?
So good.
It's so true. Yeah.
Yeah. So then when, as this transition goes, were you like, Drew, I have to quit my job now? And he was probably on board at that point. But you probably did it too late. You probably could have done it sooner, right?
I could have.
Right. But yeah. It wasn't right. It didn't feel
scared.
Right. And so when did it like cross over? And then now tell me after that happened, you proverbially jumped off the bridge.
Yeah.
They're dropping. Yeah. The parachute was kind of open at that point. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Because that's the way you are. Great. So you're flying underneath the canopy. Tell me about how that felt after you walked out. Like, did you have like cake, ice cream? Did people say goodbye? Tell me that.
No, I really wish it. That's what's disappointing probably. So I told my boss I was going to leave. And I remember I cried when I told her because mm-hmm. I was so committed and I still love the organization.
Right.
And I asked if I could maybe work 1 or 2 days a week for her still. And
hanging onto the bridge.
I was nervous. It was that steady paycheck, boy, it's hard to get rid of that when you just don't know what's going to happen. And I hadn't really been through a full year of my business. So I didn't really know like ebbs mm-hmm. and flows of like calendar months, what money was going to look like, you know, which is huge in owning a business. And, so that made me nervous and she agreed to let me do that. So I gave plenty of notice. I think I gave like 2 months notice probably. And, so I transitioned to very, very part-time, like 1 to 2 days a week. And then that only lasted like a month or two. And then I quit. And I thought there would be more of a like, I can't believe you're leaving.
Right.
And there was nothing.
Right.
And
Very surprising, isn't it? Like, let's just surprising. Talk through that quickly.
Yeah.
Because find out how like replaceable you are.
You're just a number.
It's so disappointing.
Sad. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was hard, I think, because the nature of my work was so human based. You know, we are working with people, we're taking care of people in their most vulnerable states as social workers, people who are struggling or people that need consistent help, families that are struggling or in constant chaos. And our staff, you know, a lot of our staff
work so hard
and they work so hard. They get paid literally nothing. A lot of them are empaths. So they're dealing with taking on the emotional burden of working with these clients. And
which is such a huge, heavy burden.
It is so hard. It's so draining. I mean, if you know someone that works in social work or nonprofit work, like give them a hug because they need it.
Yeah, go get them a crumble cookie.
For real.
That makes everyone happy.
Yeah, they need it. And so I just thought, you know, I saw other people leave and, you know, I just was like, oh, you know, being someone that loves a little attention and myself, I was like, you know, everyone's going to miss me. And I don't think really anybody did.
I think they did, but they probably didn't like it's make different. It a bit. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
they sure missed you.
Oh,
but it's
yeah.
like they don't really know how to process through that. Does that make sense? Like, it's like, well, do we send her a goodbye? Like, it's not a retirement. It's
right.
like,
but for like a company that gives out, like, I mean, nonprofits, people are working, you're giving out so much love to everybody, like all your clients and everything. Right. You think it would be easier to
it's
give
just not,
love to your own employees. And
yeah. You know, and it's coworkers. Funny. I saw it happen with other coworkers and other departments,
right.
you know, and, that was probably the most disappointing thing is I had really dedicated like a lot of my years to that. And, I have, it, you know, but you know what's great? What's come out of that, I will say, is as I've opened my brick and mortar, I've had former coworkers shop with me consistently over the last 6 years. People that I didn't have great, like a relationship with, simply because I didn't know them that well,
right.
not because of anything else, but who show up and shop with me. And it's the people I didn't expect.
Yeah, right.
And it's been, it makes you feel so good right. that someone wants to support.
But let me say this, that as sad as and disappointing as it is to not have like a farewell.
Yeah.
It almost solidifies the fact of like, I'm making the right decision.
Oh, it did.
You know, like, okay.
Yeah.
What was I doing for so long?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And it did make me feel that way. I'm like, this is the right decision because I'm not missed. And
yeah. Also as an opportunity of growth, because how do you treat people as you have employees?
There you go.
Yes.
And people move on.
Thinking.
Of course.
But like,
yeah,
I'm sure they don't get that feeling.
No. And I do have employees now. And I, it's so funny is I tell my husband constantly that I genuinely love everybody that works for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of them have left me and I'm still friends with them to this day. And I would take them back in a second if they're like, you know, we're very part-time, you know, they work very part-time for me. Some of them work more than others and that's okay. But if they called me and said, hey, I want to work for you again, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, we'll get you in the rotation.
Yeah. Let's I genuinely adore them. And so that's always been important to me that I treat my employees well. And I hope they feel like they're treated well. With the limited times that they work for me, that I check in on them, make sure they're doing okay. Do you need anything? Oh, yeah. You need a day out. You can't work. Okay. I got you. Like it's, you know, we try to make it the best part-time job they can have.
Right.
And
where they enjoy it.
Yeah. Where they enjoy it. And they feel like I am grateful for them because I am. Them working gives me time with my family and that it costs me money to have them there.
Right.
But the reward is greater for me.
Yeah.
So now you've jumped off, you're doing the deal and things are going well.
Yeah.
Did you see an uptick in business after you did that?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. People were really excited. We made a big deal of it on our social media that I quit, you know, and here I am. And
I'll have my own party. Thank you.
Yeah. So now I need you. Right. And I moved into an art studio in downtown Des Moines called Mainframe Studios.
Where is that? Is that right off of like Methodist area?
Yeah,
that
it little is right area? In front of Methodist on the Keogh Triangle. Yes. So it used to be the old Iowa Telecom building.
Been in there.
Yeah.
I want to blow glass in there.
You've got to go. Oh, JJ Gaffers, you've got
to
go.
I want to take all of our clients there. This is like, if our clients are listening, hang on. Because I want to take them through that kind of deal and then have people. Anyway, a little bit more than you wanted, but no, I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm
you should go. Yeah. It's an amazing place. And I think the building's finally completed too. It's full of artists now. Right. So I was there for almost 2 years and that was a great transition into like really low rent, nice space where people could now come to me and I quit traveling to people, which made my life easier. Mm-hmm. Because when you're doing art and you forget something, you're in trouble. Like, so I drove to Mason City for a workshop with 50 people and I forgot nails. Which is literally what I need to make the project.
Instant sweat. Instant, like, clammy.
It was horrible.
Like, I'm clammy for you.
I mean, I drove like a bat out of hell to Menards.
To get yourself some nails.
Nails there because I was, and luckily had a friend with me who continued to set up. But I mean, there are times where you're like, oh, and I've done it twice in my life and I have PTSD from it, honestly.
We've all been there.
I love it.
Horrible. Yeah, it's the worst. So, yeah.
Could have had something like this morning, which all of my software did not work for our podcast. So I'm like, no.
This is the last thing you need right now. Yeah. Right. So that, anyway, moving to a studio really eliminated that. So no more forgetting things or whatever. And so that was great. And it was awesome. I could schedule classes and people could come to me and I still traveled some, but I charged a fee to try to deter people
from coming, you know?
So it was great. And it really was a perfect move.
Good for you. So here's the trajectory that normally we see. Okay. We have a person that wants to start something. We help them walk into that, set things up, get them excited. It starts to work. Then no matter what, without fail, there's always something that they're like, but I don't love this part of it. And so we're always like, okay, great. Good. Glad you know it. Define it. So then maybe you can hire to it and have somebody do it. So what was that for you? Like, love it, but hate this part.
Yeah.
Like,
I got two things. Yeah.
Okay. Give it to me.
The biggest thing was, I know. I mean, I know exactly what it was. I had to work nights and weekends.
There it is.
And, my kids were in daycare, so I never saw my children and they were little. And it was a lot for my husband. So it was just a lot of our family to be gone all the time. You know, and you're teaching a 3-hour class from 6:30 to 9:30 and I'm in downtown. I'm not getting home till after 10. So that was difficult. So I had to hire people to help me. And I hired contractors to just teach classes and that was great.
Yes.
Actually I have three things. I just thought of a third
one. Let's go. Becky, get it.
The second one was, you know, prepping the wood that we used for our projects. Drew and I were cutting it in the garage at our house.
Bless your heart.
Or I was ordering it from a lumber yard and paying them to cut it, but then I had to stain it.
Oh.
And you know, it's cold in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And we live in Iowa. We live in Iowa.
Just say it.
Yeah. And I do not have a heated garage.
It's the devil.
Yeah. So that was really not fun. And, you know, of course, Drew has to help me by default because he's my unpaid intern when it comes to
right.
So he is required to assist me.
Poor Drew.
Like, he deserves a lot of credit. And so I remember him being like, I'm not doing this anymore. Like
I'm waving the white flag.
Terrible. It was horrible. You know, sanding wood outside in your winter coat with a million layers on. And I mean, but we did it for a long time. I just couldn't really afford to have anybody else do it. But, so I needed to be able to have someone else do that for me.
Right.
And, you know, and after a while, you know, we would do like 1,000 pieces of wood, like in June, and I would pay, like I'd put a thing out on my social media. Who wants to make $50 today? Come on over and help me stain. 5 of my clients would come.
Zip.
Cash. We're done. We're good for 6 months.
Wow.
So we did that a lot.
Yeah.
The third thing was the financial paperwork aspect of owning a business. You know, I shamefully had a Google Doc with my finances in it for a very long time. I had a business account and
everything. Actually probably better than a lot of people.
Well, boy, it was murky there for a couple of years. I mean, it was like tax time and I'm like, I have literally not accounted for one thing for the whole year.
Ooh.
So we're pulling, you know,
and you had somebody help you with the taxes.
I did.
So they were like, what's happening in here?
Correct. Yeah. So here's a big mistake that I made off at the bat. We just had like a typical accountant help us at first, somebody we had used for years. And I made a very large purchase. I bought a laser for my company. It was like almost $16,000. Biggest purchase I've ever made. It was a lot of money. And my accountant wasn't familiar with like a large purchase for taxes. And so it wasn't depreciated correctly. So the next year I hired a CPA that worked with small businesses. And she's like, yeah, you overpaid in your taxes. Like we should have depreciated that whole thing. And so we had a lot of adjustments to make over the years. So that if I could go back in time, I would 100% just paid the money. It wasn't even that much more to have someone that knew what they were doing in regards to small businesses.
But it made a huge impact.
Huge impact. Yeah. It just helped me predict like what kind of company, should I have an LLC? Should I have an S Corp? Should I be paying myself?
Gosh. You know, like, and it's like uncharted territory.
You don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Right. None of it. And there's no like book that's like, if your business looks like A, B, and C, this is what you do. So
it's so interesting how many times we just coach people, hey, these are the questions that I think you should ask your accountant / CPA. Only so you can get the education, because they don't really educate you.
No.
If they had their way, you'd make you paid zero in taxes.
Right.
All right, Joe, I didn't make any money either. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's not the answer.
Yeah.
So
help me.
We got to help. Like, where are we at here? Right. And just helping them, giving, equipping them with some questions to have them ask their accountant, because every tax guy or gal is different.
Yeah.
And so you just need to know where your person is coming from. Here's a couple questions that you can ask. Mm-hmm. So then you can make an educated decision and then you guys can ride off in the sunset. But it's very interesting. There's no class that teaches you that.
Not really.
It's sad.
It's a big surface deal. Level, right?
Yes.
Like you get a class, it's a very generic. It's just enough to be like, okay, now I know this, but I don't even know how to know. You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And I mean, boy, would we all benefit. You know, I used Small Business Association. They were great for the most part. Right. You know, my advisor tried to change the way I was doing the art. And I remember, you know, silly things like, this is what I
lane.
Need from
stick
you.
Your
yeah,
lane.
Stay in your lane. Like, tell me how to, like, tell me what I need to do legally.
Yeah.
You know, and luckily, you know, my best friend's an attorney. And so she was able to help me with a lot of this, you know, and get me on the right track. But boy, you don't know what you don't know. And and this is, people can get into trouble, but I'll tell you, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And then other advice I've heard, or my attorney would tell me, a lot of dumb people own very successful businesses. You don't need to be smart to own a business.
Yeah.
Surround yourself with people who are smarter than you, who can do the work that you don't know how to do, and then you do what you're good at, right?
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Learn a little, but stay in your lane.
Yeah,
you got to learn along the way to make sure you're making the right decisions, but outsourcing is amazing.
Once you can get to that point,
I'm just saying, like, your professionals and stuff, like,
let's go back to, I want to just the big purchase, for example.
Yeah.
Super wise, by the way. A lot of people will push that off and they're thinking about that big purchase, like a big purchase that they would make, like with a car or a house. The difference about a big purchase in a business is you think about the cash flow you can make because of the big purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part where I need to be challenged at times to say, hey, this big purchase, I only think about the the deficit, not the increase of. So
everybody
the fact
does.
That you would, the fact that you would buy that and invest in yourself in the business is your best investment. And I think a lot of advisors are like, well, give me that $16,000. We'll put it in a retirement account. Like, stop the madness. The best thing you could do is pour that $16,000 into your business and get the laser cutter. Like, because it's going to make you have more money.
Right. And also, like, don't buy the cheap one.
Yeah. Get the nice one.
Get the good one. And I did.
Yeah, you did.
And that was a huge, that was so scary. I mean, it was so scary. Once again, you know, still trying to get out of debt at home and, you know, trying to grow the business or whatever. Right. And I was already paying somebody else to laser cut things for me. And so this is where I'm like, I know I can use this. And now, but now I got to do it. And it's not just an investment in the equipment, but it's investment in learning how to use the equipment. I had to, you know, there's ventilation and there's fire hazards. There's all these things that I literally had no experience in at all. So it wasn't going to be a simple like plug and play type of situation. Like I'm buying a nicer laptop. This was a machine that shoots fire out of it. So, you know, it's way different. So, it was really scary, but absolutely necessary because the craft world changes so much, right? The industry changes on what's trendy. And so I was ahead of the trend. I would think about the second person in Des Moines that had owned a laser cutter, really, that was using it to produce signs and stuff. And now everybody has them. You can buy them at Michael's. It's super annoying, but it is what it is, right? So, but yeah, it really kind of stepped up my game and I was able to upsell people on things, you know, that really made a big difference and paid for itself.
Did you see, like, do you have a number of like how much it helped increase?
Oh, well, I would have to, you know, I should look at that. But to be honest, I do more laser cutting now than I do string art. Like string art is very minimal. Maybe we'll do it once a month.
Yeah.
And, we sell kits, obviously. They're popular there for kids and a lot of kid parties. But honestly, people want laser cut things now. So we do engraving and cutting boards and cups and all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, there's just so many things I can do with that that just adds another tier, another leg to my table.
Good.
I can fall back on when things are, when you can't do in-person classes, you know, we can do things on the laser.
That's awesome.
Right. Okay. So how many people work for you currently?
Five.
You have a brick and mortar building.
I do.
Right. All right. I want to go back, switch gears, because I will say this in every podcast that we have. It's probably over. Never use the word every, Philip. but I will say many podcasts.
Okay.
We give our guests time to talk about their spouse. Why? Because if without your spouse, what we found is you wouldn't be where you're at. And so the sacrifices, and you've kind of talked about it a little bit, out in the cold, staining and sanding. But talk about Drew and the impact that he's had on your uncommon path. And I guess we can even just for purpose, like, where would you be without Drew?
Oh, I would definitely not be here. And we've had this conversation. good times in and bad, right? You know, we've had this conversation. So right off the bat, I mean, he wanted me to do something that I really just was happy. He knew I was unhappy. He was super supportive. I won't say that he was always supportive. You know, there was times where things were rough and, you know, times where he had the kids 4 or 5 nights a week and I was gone and that was a lot, you know, and sometimes income has been inconsistent. You know, we did survive a pandemic. That was not very much fun. And so he has been, though, like super supportive in the fact that, like, when he quit his job to go work for the startup, I was like, do it now. Do it while you can.
Right.
Let's do it.
Right.
Why not? You hate it, you quit. You go do something else. Okay. Right. I mean, it's different times. It's not like you work at the same place for 40 years anymore. Yeah. Right? So I wanted him to do something he really loved. And he wanted me to do something that I really loved too. And I used to love my job and then I didn't. So he was super supportive in that aspect. Yeah. So he was very encouraging. Helped me, you know, I didn't know how to use a saw. I didn't know how to use a belt sander. Right. I didn't know how to do any of that stuff. And he's an electrical engineer by trade. So he knows how to do everything and all the things and help, you know, can set up the laser and got all the things going. And so he's really my tech support. Like, Drew, my printer doesn't work anymore. I'm screaming at him on the phone. He comes over on his lunch hour and helps me, you know? So he has been great, just for tech support. And then, you know, when you open a business, you lose the luxury of having coworkers. So when you get home from work,
it's lonely. It's a lonely deal. That's what I'll say. Yeah.
It's so lonely, especially for someone with my personality that enjoys the company of other people. Mm-hmm. Just the presence of a person is company to me. Right. So when you're home or when you're at the store, at the shop on a Wednesday and nobody comes in, which happens, you know, or, you know, you don't have a coworker there and it is lonely and I get home and I can't stop talking. Mm-hmm. So he is the person I talk to and he's not a big talker. So this works out great for me.
It's great. Great listening.
Not always working out great for him because, you know, I'll catch him snoozing over there while I'm just chatting away. But he's become the person I like bounce ideas off of, right? Yeah. Do you think I should do this? Or how can I do that? Or how could we afford this? Or whatever. So also advises me on, you know, what risks should I take next? Mm-hmm. And he is very detail oriented and can think about all the steps in between when I can sometimes only see the big picture. So he helps me be like, okay, but we need to do these things first. I'm like, okay, but I want to get, you know, when I'm getting excited, he can kind of talk me down off the ledge, which is good.
That's good. Great sounding board.
Yeah. He's not a huge risk taker. So I, like I said this before, I think together we make a superhuman. So like I can big picture it and then he can figure out how to get it done. So
good.
I'm eternally grateful for him talking me down off the ledge sometimes. Or, you know, when I'm like, I'm going to quit. I'm done. I'm going to sell it. And he was like, well, but just yesterday you said you were going to buy another laser. You know, like, and I'm like, you know, I'm all over the place.
Dang you.
Yeah. And he'll call me out on that. He'd be like, you just said this yesterday. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm just venting. Right. Yeah. So, in regards to him taking care of the kids, taking care of the house and supporting me in my business, I truly could not do it without him, especially during the pandemic when, you know, there was one day I refunded like $4,000 worth of money to people because I could not have in-person classes.
Wow.
And I was in like, we were hardcore. We had just opened the brick and mortar. We were like 7 months into it, you know, and
it not was, ideal.
Yeah. Yeah, not ideal. So scary. And I'm like, what are we going to do? And he was like, it'll be fine.
Right.
It'll be fine. We'll figure it out. And it was. And so I could truly say if I walked home today and said, I'm done, he'd be like, okay, who do we need to call?
Right.
It's okay.
Right. He would support you.
Yeah, he would. Right. And so. That's
okay. So what's the future of the Naughty Nail?
Oh, I actually,
I'm putting my 2 weeks notice in actually.
Yeah. Just so you know, when this airs, we'll be closed. So don't come. No. I don't know. That's funny. I am in a season of change right now, which happens to me about every 7 years. This is super weird. Oh, yeah. I can track all my job changes to March. Isn't this weird? There must be something in the moon or I don't know. I don't know anything about that stuff, but there has to be something. So
the 7 year itch,
I'm coming up on it. Right. So, I feel something coming. I just don't know what it's going to be yet. So, I don't love owning a store. I thought maybe I would, and there's times I absolutely adore it, but I don't know if I love it. And so, I need to think about what I want to do in that route. I feel my priorities shifting on what I enjoy doing anymore. And so I need to take time to think about what that's going to be. I don't know what it's going to be yet. We're doing a major rehaul, probably in September, where we're kind of changing the format of our business, where we're going to move to more walk-in. So by the time this airs, we'll be a walk-in studio instead of like a make an appointment and, you know.
Okay.
So just to kind of hop on the times as I see the trends changing, it seems to be like that instant gratification of someone walks in. Oh, you're a DIY studio. Let me take your card. I'll book something and then I maybe never see him again. Instead, I might be able to hook him right then.
Yep.
So we're gonna move to that route instead. But in a year from, you know, July in 2023, I don't know.
Exciting.
That's so awesome. To be continued.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
I think embrace it. Like that's the thing. A lot of people will like just fight through it and not take time to really like think about that.
Yeah.
I would just encourage you to do that. Yeah. I don't think no matter what, especially with a supportive spouse, like there's not a wrong answer.
No, no. I mean, I know when I make the decision, it will be the right decision. I can get on board with that quick. And since I haven't been able to nail it down yet, I know I'm not ready to make that kind of decision yet, but I'm also very fortunate. I have a wonderful landlord. like he's, if you're listening, Michael,
I love you, Michael.
I love you. Yeah. He's wonderful and his wife is wonderful and supportive of my business too. So I know that I can work with them in any aspect. So I don't feel like I have to do
that's good. Anything. You don't feel like restrained.
I don't. Like so
down. That never feels good.
So we'll see.
Okay. Well, what amazing time. This Thank you for just unpacking all of that. Super valuable. And I think tangible for people who are just like thinking about, because I'd say the people on the bridge probably are listening to this podcast and like, man, that sounds great. But sometimes it's just not tangible. Like, what can I do now? And I think the biggest takeaway for me is like, you don't need to know what the next step is. But you do need to have a somewhat of an idea. Like you can't just jump and be like, let's hope it works. Like what we're jumping to, you know? And so I would always tell people, our favorite clients are the people who know what they want. If you don't know what you want, we're just not a good fit because I can't tell you what you want. I can't tell you what gets you passionate or gets you excited. But when you do know, well, we'd love to help you jump. So anyway, Aaron.
Yes. My biggest takeaway is, I mean, you described yourself as like, financially, I mean, you're the average American. We're in debt. We have kids. We got all these things.
Yeah.
And don't hinder your dreams of doing something great.
That's good.
You did it. You took the risk. You jumped, and it's bigger than it's. You're doing amazing. So yeah. I think that's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. I mean, don't let be an example to your children, right? Mm-hmm. If you have children or siblings or whoever it might be in your life, like my kids will remember this, that mommy owned a business. Like mommy had a store. Like that's so cool. Right? And they're a part of it too. They're out there. They come to the store with me. They do stuff. They, you know, they get to meet the clients. It's cool for them too. So, I mean, make the family be part of it.
Yeah. And your kids are going to learn so much from that. And the fact that you can take risks. You can do your thing. You don't have to work for somebody else. You can work for yourself.
Yeah.
And it can work.
Yeah.
It's interesting how attractive people that are doing uncommon things are to this world. Like they're like, I still have this job and blah, 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 you know, like all these different excuses. So you're impacting not only your children, but the people around you. So continue to do what you're doing. Becky, we're your biggest fans.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. Drew's your biggest fan, but we're right here.
If you
need
love it.
If you need cheerleaders, we're right here. You've been listening to the Uncommon Life Project. I've been your host, Philip Ramsey.
And Aaron Kramer.
Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, go be uncommon.
That's all for this episode of the Uncommon Life Project, brought to you by Uncommon Wealth Partners. Be sure to visit uncommonwealth.com to learn more about our services. Don't miss an episode as we introduce you to inspiring people who are actively pursuing an uncommon life.